time. Here comes the flood. Start digging. All right. Now, turn with me to 2 Kings, chapter 3. There is a problem. There's a war going on. There's three kings that have got together. Israel is one of them. And they need help. They're in a desperate situation. They don't have any water for their animals, for the men. They're in this difficult time. It's a drought situation. And the king says, listen, man, don't we have a prophet that we could call to give us some guidance? And so they call for Elisha. When Elisha arrives at the scene, he says, now bring me a harpist. While a harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. Say, while the band was playing, the anointing came down. So one more time. While the band was playing and the people were worshiping, the Holy Spirit moved. Come, Holy Spirit, breathe on us, blow through. I can hear it in the wind. Whenever we get together and we begin to worship God, there is a supernatural release of the Spirit of God. That's why we are now living in the time of David's tabernacle, where praise and worship ruled the day. And the Spirit of God had free access to move amongst the people. I don't know why he chose it to go that way, but I like it. I like it. I love to praise and worship, don't you? Well, if you didn't, you wouldn't be at the promise. So I knew I had a good one going right there, didn't you? Don't you? All right. So the band is playing, and the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, and he says, this is what the Lord says, make this valley full of ditches. For this is what the Lord says, you will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water. I hear a flood coming. I hear a flood. And you know what? It's going to take us by surprise. You're not going to hear wind nor rain. And suddenly, everybody say suddenly, it's going to be upon us. It's going to be right there in the house. No wind. And this valley will be filled with water, and your cattle and your animals will drink. Oh, I love the word of God. And he says, this is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord. This is not a tough thing. Everybody say, this is an easy thing. There's nothing too hard for our God. Amen. I don't care what you're facing. Shout, this is an easy thing. There's no problems with God. Amen. I hear the flood. I hear the flood coming. So he said, this is an easy thing. Now, the next morning about this time of the offering sacrifice, there it was. Say, there it was. Man, they got up and there it was. Don't you feel like that sometimes? You want to get up in the morning and you say, okay, God, I'm ready. You should have done it last night while I was sleeping, right? I pray that way every night. I pray that way every day. During my sleep, let there be healing for Jackie. Let there be healing for me, whatever's going on. I'm believing the bank account's going to be filled. That debt's going to be paid. I get up in the morning, I say, there it is. I'm ready. One of those days, I'm going to get up. I'm telling you now. I'm running down to the church. I'll be here alone, but I'm coming. Because there it is. You'll get a text message. There it is. And you better get down here. All right, amen. There it was. Water flowing from the direction of Eden, and the land was filled with water. Now listen, do you know that they had to prepare to receive the supernatural increase? Did you notice that? God told them it was coming, but he told them, you've got to prepare, you've got to do something. What did they have to do? They had to dig what? Ditches. Why did they have to dig ditches? To catch the water. Because here comes the flood. It's going to go right past you. If you're not prepared, if you don't have the ditches dug in your life, when that flood comes, you'll go, what was that? And those who've got their ditches dug are going to be swimming in the flood. Oh, I like that. Those who have the ditches dug will be swimming in the flood. They're going to have the increase. Because you know what? They were prepared for it. They were ready for it. Now, what do you think that looks like to us? They had to go and dig physical ditches. But what does that look like to us? You know what we're going to have to prepare? Spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. in all of those four areas, we are going to have to prepare in order to catch the flood as it comes. What do I mean we're going to have to prepare spiritually? Well, I think prayer is one of the utmost things that you can do to prepare spiritually. Praying in our early morning prayer meeting and P3 and daily. I think getting in the Word and studying the Word and digging in the Word for yourself is a way that you can prepare spiritually. Because you know what, man? If you don't know the Word of God, you won't recognize the flood. You won't even recognize the move of the Spirit. So you have to prepare by getting into the Word. And then as Brother Jeremy preached on Sunday night, oh my Lord, intimacy with the Holy Spirit. How many were here? Well, didn't that, oh my, what can we say? And continuing this morning, Pastor Lindsay, intimacy with the Holy Spirit is part of getting your ditch dug. It's part of preparing. There would be a spiritual thing. What about physically? How could you prepare physically to catch the flow and the increase? Well, honestly, giving your tithe and giving a little more is a way of preparing physically. It's something that you actually do. You give. It's a physical activity. What about coming to church? You think that's a physical activity? Now, you see, for those who didn't make it today, of course, I mean, there's people that are sick. Jackie's at home right now recovering from flu. It's as sick as she's been in I don't know how long. And so I'm not going to stay afterwards. I'm going to head out. Bless Hane's heart. He's taking care of her right now. Good to have a good son. Amen? Amen. All right. So, you know, coming to church should be a priority. You come to church, you get built up, you get encouraged, you hear the Word, and you go out flying high and say, well, I can take the devil by the throat this week. I've got it in Jesus' name. I'm an overcomer. So coming to church, you need to make a commitment. You need to make a commitment to do this. Because how many of you know there are so many things that come against you on Saturday, Saturday night, Sunday morning. And say, well, you're just not going to be able to make it this week. Oh, yes, I am. Everybody say, dig. I'm digging my ditch. I'm going to church. No, you're not going to keep me out of here, man. And you know what? Another thing you can do is you could serve. It's a practical thing that you could do. You could serve, whether you're serving in the band, whether you're serving as an usher, whether you're serving in children's church. It doesn't matter. If you're serving, you know what? You're in the Lord's house, man. You're like this. I'm ready, God. I'm ready. Throw the ball. Throw the ball. I'm ready. I'm serving. One eye down, one eye up. I'm ready to go. Send it. Amen. So there's some things that you could do. Now, we could talk about mental preparation. This is huge. This is huge. Because mentally what you've got to do is you've got to start thinking the way God thinks. You've got to start thinking in line with the Word. When the Word says increase, you say, well, you know, not so much for me. You know, like I've had bad luck all my life. Stop that. Stop that. Don't let your history dictate what your future looks like. You got to change your stinking thinking. Get a checkup from the neck up. And begin to say, what does God say about it? I'm going to start thinking God's way. It's going to be painful for a lot of us who haven't been thinking anything. Thinking will be a new experience. Duh. How you going, bro? Cool. You know that the elevator's not going to stop. Something is not working there. But we've got to start thinking God's way. We've got to say, wait a minute, if God said it, and you know what? You know what? I'm not going to allow the evil one to distract me. I've got my eyes set to go to Jerusalem like Flint. I'm going God's way. And here comes this thing. Oh, but what about this? Looks so cool. Looks so great. Wait. Oof, don't distract me. I'm going to stay on this track. Mentally, you're going to have to dig ditches. Everybody say dig. And then finally, emotional preparation. What I mean by emotional preparation? It's anticipation. You have to expect the best. You've got to start thinking that God's blessing is coming my way. You have to prepare your emotions. Your emotions can shut or open your heart. I'm going to seal a moment right there. If you have been going through difficult times, sickness, financial, relationship problems, we all have these. It has a way to bring about a closed heart so that you cannot expect something good. Your heart says, can't happen to me. I'm so tired of what I'm walking in. You have to open your heart, and it's a decision you make. It's a decision you make. I'm not going to be ruled by my emotion. I'm going to be ruled by my devotion. And my devotion is in the Word of God. And I'm going to lift the limit that I've placed on God through the hardships that I've been through. I'm going to break that glass ceiling. I'm going to lift the limit off God. Amen? And we're going to move on. Now, I want to talk about another man who's one of my great favorites in the Bible, David, King David. I want to take you to the beginning of David and talk a little bit about his life story. So we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 17. The Lord says to Samuel, who is the prophet of the day, I want you to go and anoint another person to be king in place of Saul. Now God has rejected Saul, and God says, the Spirit of God says to them, don't look at the outward appearance. Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else in Israel. And he was a very, very handsome man. And so it was like, whoo, look at that guy. He's just set for king. He just looks like a good king. And God says to him, don't look at the outward things like man does. Man looks at the outward things. Don't look that way. He says, I'm looking at the heart. God does not look at things the way man does. See, that's the problem we have. We have this humanity that judges books by its cover. We have humanity. It's a frailty that we have, that when we see people or situations or corporations or whatever it is, that we tend to get moved by what we see and what we hear. And, you know, the advertisers know that. And that's why they do that on, you know, the web. They do that on TV and radio and all those kind of stuff, because they get you, because you're judging things by your physical, your eyes, your ears, your touch. That's how you're judging it. And God says, no, that's not the way I do it. I judge by your heart. So listen to me carefully. God is not looking at what you look like today. He's looking at what's in your heart. So remember that. God goes right past any of the outward stuff that you put on. He's looking at the heart. Your heart is bare before him. So he goes to David's household. His father's name is Jesse. He gets there and he says, okay, bring out all the sons. They bring out all the sons, and God says, not this one, not this one, not this one. They start at the eldest and work all the way down. Eventually, they're through all the six sons, and the Lord has said, it's not any one of these. So the Samuel says to Jesse, well, do you have any other children? Do you have any other sons? And he says, yes, he's the youngest one. He's the youngest one. Verse 11 says, but he's tending sheep. He's a little shepherd. He's a little stinky boy. He's out there. He's you know, he's like covered in sheep stuff, and sleeps in a sheep thing to keep him warm at night. Gee, you couldn't be thinking that. Anyway, he's only a teenager. He's the youngest in the group. He's good looking, but he's a teenager. He's just you wouldn't want to be doing anything with a teenager, right? Since we have all these fantastic sons here. It's got to be one of these guys. And Samuel says, no, go get him. And when he comes, the Lord says, this is the one. Verse 13, Samuel takes the horn of oil and anoints him in the presence of his brothers. From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. It's the anointing. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. God's Spirit will take you from somebody ordinary to somebody extraordinary. Will take you from somebody common to somebody uncommon. Will take you from a mere human to someone anointed by God himself. Say, God is in me. I'm his temple. I have the anointing of God in me. Are you not a king in Christ? Does God not see you as a king? Yes, he does. Yes, he does. You may not see you as a king, but God does. God anoints him as king of Israel. And you know what happens? The Bible says he goes straight back to tending sheep. He doesn't go there and say, okay, Saul, get off the throne. I'm here. I'm the new boy. Out of you. No, he goes back to tending sheep. So listen carefully. Listen carefully to all the wannabe preachers. To all the wannabe full-time people. Even when you get anointed and you get appointed and you get called, you go back to the same job you were doing, tending sheep, where nobody knows your name. It's not like Cheers where everybody knows your name. Nobody knows your name. You're back with the sheep. Practice preaching to those cotton balls. All right? Prepare your sermons. Waste them on the sheep. Get yourself prepared. And then while you're doing that, worship God with all your heart. Because you see, David first was a worshiper before he was a king. And it was his worship that drew and attracted God to him. And while he was out there playing his little harp and sitting out there worshiping God and just worshiping God, God was at work in him. He just didn't know it. And neither did his brothers. You see, because when he came home, after weeks of being out in the field pen, you know, out in the field there, they came home and the brothers would say, "So how's the king doing today? How are you, king? You good? Cool? Yeah. Okay. Clean my shoes now. Go get some water. Prepare the food. You're the youngest in the family. You do the job. Respect us, king." You think that didn't happen? Well, you see, that's happening to you right now. You see, the devil is doing that to you right now. The devil's all over the fact that you've been called and been anointed and been appointed as a king, and he's mocking you. Is he not mocking your anointing? Is he not mocking your appointment? Is he not making fun of you in the media? Is he not mocking you at work? Is he not pointing the finger at those Christians? Come on. Really? Get a life. Come on now. You're being mocked by the evil one. But God is at work in you. Say dig.
Dig.
Say dig deeper.
Dig deeper.
Now, we pick up the story. Enter Goliath. Verse 34 of chapter 17. David says to Saul, he arrives on the scene, and you know that Goliath has been taunting the armies for a few months already, about 40 days or so. And he comes up to King Saul, and he says, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion and a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by the hair, struck it, and killed it." You see, God had been working on David's destiny. In the backyard of nowhere, tending sheep, dealing with lions, dealing with the attacks of bears, dealing with everyday things of life that are going on, all by himself. Just him and God. He didn't even know God knew about him after he got anointed with oil. No other prophets dropped by. "How are you doing today, king? Hold tight now, all right? We're good to go. God has still got your number." Really? Really? And David says, "I'm going to take this boy down." Now listen carefully. The lion and the bear were stepping stones to David's destiny. He was digging ditches. He was preparing for the flood. He was looking for things to come in the future. See, I'm standing right now on bears and lions. That's what I'm standing on. These are bears and lions that you've had to face in your life, that you've had to overcome. Now, here is bad news. Here's bad news. He had to defeat the bear and the lion, or they would have eaten him for lunch. Huh? Do you understand something? That when the bear and the lion, and you will have bears and lions in your lifetime, that when they come, you have to defeat them. If you do not defeat them, you will have to go through the same trial and test again. You'll be rounding around the same mountain, round and round and round and round, until you get the victory. Say, "I've got the victory. In Jesus' name, I'm taking this bear down. I'm taking this lion down. Today's the day. Enough already." Say, dig. So this is what happened. You cannot afford to lose the battle. You cannot afford to lose the battle. We pick it up at verse 36. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine, that simply meant he was outside of the covenant with Israel. That's why he was uncircumcised Philistine. He was just a regular Gentile, had no covenant with God, will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who has delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Do you have that testimony? You've got to understand what was going on here. David was saying, my walk with God has been tested and tried. I've walked in covenant with him. I have a history of victories with God. And I can look back at those histories and I can say, you know what? I'm not just a hoping and a praying for this victory. I know. I don't think so. I know so. That bad boy coming down. Say that. That bad boy is coming down. I'm not a hoping and a praying. I know so. This I know. Isn't that true? Are we walking in the victory? And whatever you've been through, you've got to rise up and say, enough, enough, enough of this. Enough of this. I'm taking the victory that Jesus provided for me. So, Saul says, take my armor. Can you imagine this little kid putting on this huge armor of the king? I don't think he could even see out of it. I don't think he could lift the sword. It was too heavy. And I mean, if he tried to walk, he'd just fall down under the power and the weight of this armor. Because it wasn't the armor of God. This is man-made armor. David says, I don't need your armor, man. I have fought the lion and the bear barehanded. All I had on was, you know, this rough-looking tunic and a little skirt. That's it. I don't need your big armor. I just show him a leg. He's done. Got to have some humor, right? We're going to war, man. Good heavens, we're going to war. So he says, David said to the Philistine, I'm coming down here. All right, let's do this. I'm coming down at you, man. You coming against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day, this day, the Lord will hand you over to me and I'll strike you down and cut your head off. Woo! Today I will give your carcasses and the carcasses the whole Philistine army. Hey, I'm coming through you, buddy. I'm coming right through you. I can see all the little Philistines behind you. I'm not only taking you down, I'm taking all your friends down. I'm not taking the big demon honcho down, I'm taking all the little demons down too. Yeah, yeah. You come mess with me, take your whole army down. All the demons of Gideon, the whole fight's coming down. Everything's coming down. You'll be sorry you messed with me. I'm coming against you because I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord. And you know what? The birds of the air and the beasts of the field, they're going to eat you up. That's what's going to happen. The whole world will know that there's a God in Israel. The whole world will know that Jesus has been risen from the dead. The whole world's going to know that he anointed me with power by the Holy Ghost. And he told me to raise the dead. He told me to heal the sick. He said, cast out demons. He said, speak in new tongues. He said, go in my power. The whole world's going to know because I'm going to walk in the victory that Jesus provided for me. Oh, yeah. And so they all gathered around. Verse 47. You'll know. Those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves. It's not by might. Nor by power. Come on. Come on. That you have already on you and anointed you with. For the battle is the Lord's. That's what David says. Help me now. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands today. Yeah. Say what, David? What? What are you saying, David? Do you realize you're antagonizing this guy? David, oh, you guys haven't heard about calling those things that be not? Well, I thought you guys would have heard about that. What do you think I'm doing? I'm calling those things that be not. I'm calling my victory before I ever get to it. I'm setting my future up. I'm going to walk into a future that I prepared with my mouth. That boy's coming down. I said so. In Jesus' name, he's coming down. I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. Everybody shout, dig deeper. Dig deeper. You know why? You see, Goliath was David's door to his destiny. The lion and the bear were ditches you prepared. But every one of you will face a Goliath. You will face a Goliath. It's a setup. It's part of a divine appointment. Because God is expecting you to whip him. Isn't that right? You're going to be whipping him. It's a divine appointment. You're going to take that big bad boy down in Jesus' name, because it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. And you have prepared yourself spiritually, physically, and mentally, socially. You are prepared emotionally as well for this battle. You've been digging the ditches and you're ready. Say, I'm ready. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David, how are you going to do this? Well, what David didn't realize is that Goliath was going to catapult him into his divine destiny. You see, what you're facing looks like the end of the road. It looks like this debt's going to take me down. This sickness is going to win over me. That broken relationship is going to break my heart forever. The things that I'm facing are so bad, I can't get out of it. I think suicide is the only way out of it. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen. What you're facing, you will overcome in Jesus' name, and it will catapult you into your destiny. You cannot have a great testimony without a great test. Don't look at the test and say, oh, God, not another one. I can't stand this one. You say, all right, bring it on, God. You're creating in me a testimony. That's what you're doing. If you're making notes, write this down. Your battle scars are your platform that validates your testimony. Your battle scars are your platform that validates your testimony. Shout a little louder. You're coming down, Goliath. By the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of the Lord that does it. Amen. We're ready. We work together with the Spirit of God. This thing is going to happen. It's going to come down in the name of Jesus. We walked on the bear. We walked on the lion. They were stepping stones. We face our Goliath. And we're ready for our Goliath. And he's coming down. Do not be afraid of what you have to face. Because you have been created to be a victor, not a victim. Now maybe you look at the little stones and the sling, and David's looking down. He's got these five little stones in a sling. This is it. Have you seen this 9-foot giant? This is it. This is what you give me to fight. David, what do you have in your hand? And David turns and he looks at me, and he says, Pastor Henry, it's not what I have in my hand. It's what I have in my heart. Come on. Come on. It's not what you have in your hand. It's what you have in your heart. Who do you have in your heart? What is the vision you have in your heart? Do you have an overcomer in your heart? Do you have a lion in your heart? Amen. Enough with the deaf thoughts. Enough with the suicide. Enough with the overcoming. Enough with the depression. Enough with this is never going to work for me. Enough in Jesus' name. Well, maybe your Goliath is debt. Maybe it is financial problems. And I want to tell you something. If anything can strangle you, it's sickness and debt. And they go together. And it could strangle the life out of you. Like, there's no way I can go. I have this job. There's no more. I can't get out of my debt. Maybe I'm a widow. My husband has died. What can I do? So I'm going to tell you a story. The same Elisha, the same prophet. He has a prophet school. And one of the men in the school dies. leaves a widow. Doesn't have any insurance. No retirement plans. The guy went early. She comes to Elisha and she says, the creditors are coming to take away my children. We pick the story up in 2 Kings 4. One day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, my husband who served you is dead. And you know how he feared the Lord, but now a creditor has come threatening to take away my two sons as his slaves. Elisha says to her, what can I do to help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? And she says nothing. She says nothing at all. Nothing at all. Except a little jar of oil. What's that going to do? That can't feed my family. That can't pay the creditors. I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. I'm a widow woman. I can't take care of my children. I don't have a job. I've never worked before. I don't know how to do this. I've got a Goliath facing me. I'm turning to you, prophet. What do I do? So listen. God is asking you, what do you have in your house? And you look at it and you say, nothing at all, except this little thing. Well, it may look like nothing. Two little fish and five little loaves? That didn't look like anything. Put it in the hands of the master and see what he will do with your nothing. See what he will do with your nothing. You see, what you call nothing, God calls a mighty supply. God calls supernatural increase what you call nothing. I can't do this. I can't get out of this. I'm done. No, you're not done until you say you're done. Don't say you're done. Say, I'm coming over this in the name of Jesus. Everybody shout, dig deeper. You look at what you got in your house. God says, what do you got in your house? And I don't think I've got anything that you'd want. Put it in the master's hand. Put that what's in the master's hand. I'm saying to you now, prepare, the flood is coming. One more time. Prepare, the flood is coming. All right. Dig more ditches. What you've dug is not enough. You dug deeper, not enough. Dig more ditches. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, dig more ditches. Elisha says to her, borrow as many empty jars as you can find from your friends and your neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons, shut the door behind you, pour the olive oil out from the flask into the jars, setting them side by side until they filled. So she did what she was told, and her sons kept bringing her jars, and she kept filling them one after another, and soon every container that she had was filled to the brim. She said, bring me another jar, and the son said, there ain't any more jars, everything is filled, and then the oil stopped. Why did the oil stop? Why did the oil stop? Listen, she ran out of ditches. You're looking for God's supply, but you're not digging the ditches. He said, dig ditches. He said, prepare, dig deeper, dig more. And you're saying, well, I'm done, you know, this, and then I can't get to church, and I'm finding it hard to tithe, and I can't do this in the prayer meeting. I just can't get to the prayer meeting. If you want to get out of this thing, dig more ditches. Yeah, but it's going to be uncomfortable. Really? Which is more comfortable, being in the debt that you're in, facing what you're facing, or digging the ditches? What do you have in your hand? See, I want to tell you a story about a little widow woman. True story. Lost her husband, had four children. And her heart went out to her. And we gave her some money to help her with her situation. You know what she did? She took half of it. She said, give it to the orphans in India. She's digging ditches, brother. Wide and deep. She's trusting God. Little that I have, I'm putting the master's hands. You see, It was her capacity to receive that was limited. The reason the oil stopped flowing, because she had limited capacity to receive. It wasn't that God wasn't willing to supply, send the flood, send the rain, send the increase. This dear widow had not prepared to receive the increase. Because when the preacher preached, they were distracted in their mind. They thought about other things. And they didn't believe that could happen. They didn't open their heart to the message that God was sending to prepare for them to receive that burst of rain and the flood that's coming. Pray this prayer with me. God, increase my capacity to receive. Now shout, I hear the sound of abundance. Shout, dig, the flood is coming. Come and give the Lord praise. Come on. Woo. She told the man what had happened. She went to the man of God and said, this is what's happened. You know what he said to her? You know what he said to her? Now sell the miracle oil. Sell the miracle oil and settle all of your debts, and you and your family live on what is left over. So yes, he put her to work. So many of us think the miracle just happens with us having to do any work. Part of the physical preparing the ditches, get a job. A real job that pay you money. Real money. Hello. All went real quiet out there. Otherwise, you will have a job experience like Job experience. Get a job. Get a job. She was put to work as the widow. She had never worked before. Yes, he put her into the oil business. She became a salesperson. She had never been a salesperson before. She said, I don't even know how to sell, God. I'm so afraid to approach people. Suck it up. Dig some ditches. Dig some ditches. Do something that's uncomfortable. Whoever thought that victory in God comes on easy street? If it's easy street, people, you don't need victory. You got it. Cool. You need victory. We who are suffering and in those problems are the one who need victory. And we're uncomfortable right now. Let's do something to get out of this hole in Jesus' name. You see, her Goliath was debt. And her Goliath was brought to his knees by God's miracle debt cancellation policy. Never mind insurance policy. How about miracle debt cancellation policy? How many want some of that? You want some miracle debt cancellation policy? Do what she did. Go to God. Say, this is all I've got. I have this little oil. And God's saying, okay, increase your capacity to receive. I'm going to send the Spirit. Dig some ditches. Get ready. Do what's got to be done. And it's going to come. Yeah, it's going to come. But thank God, God gives the increase. Amen. There's a physical part. There's a faith part. There's an emotional part. There's a commitment we have to make. We got to do what God tells us to do. We got to dig some ditches. But thank God, God gives the increase. Amen. Well, let's give the Lord a good praise. Come on. Next Sunday is the final in this 90-day series. I'm going to give you 7 practical goals, practical things that you can do that will break you through and cause you to walk in increase for the rest of your life if you will do it. You understand what I'm saying? 7 things. If you will do these 7 things, you will walk in increase and in victory the rest of your life. I'm not saying you do it 1 week. I'm saying you do it for the rest of your life. Do you understand that? If you want lifelong victory, you're going to have to do lifelong whatever God tells you to do. Amen? Yeah.